First and foremost, as an avid sports fan, I believe that the spirit of sports is good sportsmanship to begin with. And whether you're an athlete or particularly a fan, maintaining the sanctity of it is, I think, important. And when you see the kind of hoodlum behavior by some who chastise a player with no real foundation, it's just unacceptable behavior. And I know that Lionel Messi was somewhat hurt or offended by that behavior, but the whole point was to clarify that there are millions of Iranian sports fans who have always been respective of athletes around the world, and that the behavior of a few hooligans is not representative of a whole nation. And I don't think it's quite coincidental, by the way. I think a lot of it goes back to this culture that is pervasive as a result of the kind of system we have in Iran today that promotes confrontation as opposed to peace. Sports, after all, is the biggest messenger of peace on the planet. The Olympics is founded on the principles of good sportsmanship.
Why is it important that a few fans choose to aim abuse at a player? After all, it happens all the time, all over the world.
Well, if you think that the behavior is wrong, to be silent is an affirmation of that behavior. I think silence is the biggest sign of indifference, and indifference is what takes the world in the wrong direction rather than on the right path.
How much of this is an attempt by you to gain publicity?
No, I don't think it's a matter of publicity. It's a matter of principle, but it involved Iran. It involved our national team. It involved some supposedly sports fan who come and attack a player because of a comment he might have made regarding whether or not he thinks that the draw was an easy one for Argentina, and the fact that Iran is part of that group. We should be proud as a nation to have made it to the final round of the World Cup. I remember how much I was enthusiastic the first time Iran ever made it to the finals of the World Cup back in 1978, in fact, in Argentina. Participation is far more important than who is going to beat whom and who's going to qualify or not. And that ought to be the real spirit. So it has nothing to do with publicity, but because it involved Iran and because I found it as an individual necessary to respond to this, that's why I did it.
Are you expecting a response from Lionel Messi?
No, I don't expect any response. Of course, I'll be very happy to hear from him as well if he chooses to respond. But I think it was important for Lionel Messi to know that there are so many young Iranians who emulate him. Pictures of young kids who have been abused by the system, even in jail, who have been wearing a Messi sports jersey. Why should he be attacked this way? Because I think he's exemplary on and off the field, by the way. And I felt that I wanted to convey that message to him. And if he chooses to respond, great. But I think the greater message here is, I think, something that many Iranians share with me, that we have always been known as people who are a sports appreciating and loving nation. And this kind of behavior by the few should not tarnish the image of a whole country.
You left Iran in the late 1970s, but you grew up during arguably the national football team's greatest era, when they won three Asian Cups, one of them in Iran, and also qualified for the 1978 World Cup. What are your memories of watching the national football team while you were growing up in Iran?
Well, I think one of the fondest memories that I have from growing up in my country and at the time as a young teenager was, in fact, rooting for our national team. I had the privilege to be able to play on the practice field with them. We had a coach who was coaching our school who happened to also be the coach of the national team. So every now and then, he would bring along players from the national team who would come and practice on the field. And can you imagine being a teenager and playing next to the heroes of your national team, the biggest players that Iran had at the time, like Ali Parvin or Hassan Roshan or Nasser Hejazi? For me, it was like amazing that I could dwell among them. I could never forget the day Iran qualified for the World Cup. I remember one of the key games that Iran had to play was against Kuwait. And we were at the time hosting the first leg of the game in Tehran. And the capacity of the stadium at the time was about 100,000. But there were more than 20,000 people who had entered the soccer field. They were hanging by the lamppost. And it was the most electrifying atmosphere that I've ever witnessed in any of the sport competitions that Iran had. And we won that game. We were one step away, and we finally qualified by beating Australia 1-0 in Tehran, which led us to the first World Cup. So you can imagine the thrill and growing up with all that and all the atmospheres of that. I mean, there are millions of people around the world who understand absolutely what I'm talking about when they're rooting for their team and to qualify for the World Cup. And what else can you say? I was holding my breath by watching it on the internet with very poor quality, unfortunately. But I saw the last 5 minutes of the Iran-Korea game, which was what qualified us for this World Cup. And I must say the last 5 minutes was like agonizing, hoping that we would somehow manage to keep that score to the last second.
35 years have passed since Iran qualified for the World Cup in 78, but you talk about it like it was last week.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you live with this. These are vivid memories. I remember every aspect of the goal when it was crossed, and I think it was Ghafur Jahani who scored the goal, if I recall. And that was the most amazing thing. And I know these are things that you cannot wipe away from your memory. It's just vivid. And as I said, I used to play soccer throughout our school years, probably an average of about an hour and a half to 2 hours a day, not exaggerating, probably 300 days a year. I mean, football was perhaps the most obvious sports that so many of us growing up at the time used to play and, of course, follow.
How do you feel when you watch the national team play now, especially when they play in Tehran in the national stadium, which your father built in the country where you were born and where you had to leave and to where you cannot return?
Well, under the circumstances, I cannot return. I'm physically away from my country, but I have never left my country in spirit or in thought. So it doesn't matter where you are physically. I feel I belong there. I think I am. I will always be an Iranian. I will always support my countrymen and my team. It is our national team. Doesn't matter what government is in place. The team represents the country. It represents the people. That's what it's all about. It's not Mr. Rouhani or, for that matter, Mr. Khamenei on the field. It's the people of Iran and their team.
You clearly would like regime change in Iran. This is, after all, the regime that toppled your family. Do you think sport can play a significant role in changing governments or changing societies?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I remember when Passarella was holding the cup when Argentina won by beating Holland in 1978, and when the military junta over there were trying to sort of take credit for it, he turned their back on them and raised the cup towards the people, said, "This is for you."
Would you like sport to play a part in the regime change that you would like to see in Iran?
Look, I hate to see sports being politicized as a mechanism in the wrong way. It can be done the right way. Case in point, when you look at what President Mandela did, the late President Mandela did in South Africa with the rugby team, and the message of bringing unity to a nation that was thus far divided, that the rugby team was in an apartheid set of mind representing the white people. But he did something with that to convert that rugby championship that was hosted by South Africa, which they ended up winning, that unified the whole country. Yes, sports can be an instrument that brings stability, that brings peace, that brings unity. And I think in that sense, the comportment of a national team and the reaction that people have to the team could be a very, very powerful instrument. But it should not be exploited to force a team or athletes to take a political position. I don't think that's what sports is about. Does it have an impact on politics? Yes. Does it create a social stir or change of paradigm? Absolutely. We've seen it time and again. In that spirit, if you can bring in positive change, I will be, of course, supportive of that.
Will you be in Brazil to watch Iran?
I don't know if I be able to peel away for so long, but I would definitely follow every single game as I always have, as much as I can, time zones permitting. And of course, I'll be rooting for Iran, which I believe is playing Nigeria in its first game. So we'll see what happens. I think the first game is always critical. And if you can get a draw or maybe a likely goal, great, because I think anybody with at least 4 points and maybe in goal differences could go to the next round. It's going to be very tough against Argentina. I have no idea what the Bosnian team is like. I understand I have a very great striker. We'll see. It depends. You know, football is football. You shoot, you hit the post, it either goes in or goes out. You never know. Penalty can be called. Last minute, never relent. I think they all know how much I'm rooting for them. I always send them messages, you know, through all sorts of means, by intermediaries, by people that I know who are connected back home and are within the sports community. And, you know, there are a lot of messages going back and forth. So If I can't be there physically to support them, they know that I'll be there in spirits supporting them.
How much do you long to sit in the Azadi Stadium, in the national stadium in Iran, and watch the national team in the flesh in your home country?
More than anything, more than you can imagine. I mean, you have to understand, I'm not out of Iran by choice. And as an exile or somebody forced to have to live outside of a country, the biggest pain is not to be able to be among your own peers at home in your own homeland. And of course, what better to be in a situation where you can be there and support your country in many ways, and in the field of sports, of course, be there and attend to games that involves the national team, whether it's in soccer or any other sports. I still remember when Iranian athletes were performing during the Asian Olympics back in 1974. And in fact, it was interesting because I remember the last round of football, Iran was playing Israel, which had qualified because most of the Arab nations had boycotted the games. So they somehow ended up qualifying all the way to the finals. And next door to the Azadi Stadium, or the Ari Amer Stadium, as it was called back then, was the medal rounds, the gold medal rounds for wrestling. And I know I had to peel away from the wrestling to go over to the stadium to watch the final of the soccer game. And you can't get any higher state of exhilaration when you are chanting and rooting for a team and hearing that loud noise of 100,000 people plus cheering for a team on the field. I mean, I don't think there's any sensation that compares to that, more than any concert, more than anything. I don't know, sports has something magical that I don't think is transcended by anything else, as far as I'm concerned.